This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. This week's favorite story recalls a conflict as old as human nature, the struggle of woman for her rights in what we sometimes call a man's world, her right to vote or follow her own profession. And it wasn't so many years ago that a woman was frowned upon for writing novels. Then suddenly the literary world found itself with a bloodless revolution on its hands. Fewer ladies of leisure, more and more ladies of letters. And far from London, in a country parsonage, it was Jane Austen, who had a warm heart, a wise heart, for all her 19 years. Jane had a winning smile, too. Yes, and many suitors to boot. Jane could have married any one of them if there hadn't been something she wanted to do first. And while others were noisily asserting woman's literary rights, our Jane was quietly proving them. Oh, not too convincingly at first, perhaps, to suit the publishers in London, for they promptly returned Jane's youthful manuscript, First Impressions, and it was consigned, with many tears, to the very bottom drawer. It wasn't till many years and many tears later that our Jane, now Aunt Jane, who might have married but never did, reached into that bottom drawer and pulled out her first impression of life. The manuscript, First Impressions, became the novel, Pride and Prejudice, rewritten, with the understanding of that heart still young, but so much wiser, with all the warmth of that winning smile, and written by a woman. What did the gentleman have to say about it? Well, Sir Walter Scott said he'd rather have written that one book, Pride and Prejudice, than all his noisy novels put together. And the Prince Regent asked Miss Austen, please, wouldn't she dedicate her next novel to him? Pride and Prejudice is a comedy of first impressions, of the flaws in all of us, which, after all, make us human. The famous American painter and scenic designer, Mr. Oliver Smith, chose this as his own favorite story. So here's Act One of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice.
Mother, calm yourself, or that fan will fly out of your hand.
Oh, what matter, when I'm about to fly out of my head? Where is she? Where is she?
Who, Mother, who?
Who, indeed? Jane, of course. Have some compassion on my nerves.
I'm full of compassion, Mother, but I haven't the faintest idea where Jane is.
Well, she must be found. The first bachelor in months, with a fortune to boot, and Jane disappears. Oh, how will I ever find husbands for my daughters if they won't cooperate?
Jane.
Go away. Go away.
Oh, my poor Jane. Aren't you ashamed hiding in the library?
Oh, Lizzie, I can't bear it. Being thrown in a man's head this way, it isn't proper. It isn't fair.
Of course it isn't. But don't blame Mother. Sometimes she gets a little frantic with five daughters on her hands.
But why must I be sacrificed? You escape because you're not afraid to stand up to Mother. You have spirit and courage. If only I had a little, then I could stand up to her, too.
Why don't you anyway? It'd be good for you. Now, here's what you do.
Jane! Jane, there you are, you wicked child. How could you do this to your mother? And you, Lizzie, why didn't you tell me at once?
Mother, Jane has something to tell you.
No time now. Another dance just started. Come along, Jane.
Mother.
That's it, Jane.
Mother, I don't want to marry Mr. Bingley.
What? How do you know you don't? You haven't met him yet. Come along, dear. Come along.
Henry! Help me.
Oh, Mother, won't you listen to me then?
You'll be about finding a partner for yourself, Miss Elizabeth Bennet. It's high time you had a husband and children. Oh, 2 dances wasted already. Come on, Jane. Don't dally.
What's that? Who's there?
Excuse me, I really couldn't help it.
Oh. How long have you been in that chair? I consider you very rude.
For chuckling?
For eavesdropping.
But supposing I'd interrupted that tender display of motherly love with a cough or a sneeze or a snore, you'd never have forgiven me. I'd never have forgiven myself.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Well, until that scene a moment ago, the evening's been such a bore. I'll never forgive Bingley for dragging me down here from London.
Oh, then you're a good friend of our host?
Yes, my name is Darcy, his closest friend. As such, I really ought to warn him, you know, to be on guard. But knowing him so well, I'm sure there's no danger.
Of his falling in love with my sister?
Of his falling in love with anyone. Old Bingley couldn't be guilty of such bad taste.
Men of excellent taste have been known to fall in love.
Huh, but not in such provincial surroundings, whereas every such ball as this becomes a bazaar for promoting marriages. For that very reason, I took refuge in the library.
You consider yourself in danger?
In greater danger than Bingley.
Oh?
You see, I'm worth a great deal more money. That would make a difference to the provincial mind, I believe.
It seems to me the difference is more in your own mind. Otherwise, you wouldn't make such a point of it.
Well, well, your sister was right a moment ago when she said you had spirit.
But I haven't an even temper to go with it. I'd better return to the ball.
Ending our acquaintance so abruptly?
I see no reason for prolonging it any further.
But I can think of nothing more delightful.
And I can think of nothing more distasteful. Good evening. Jane, I'm ashamed of you. Have you no pride? No principles?
Pride? Principles?
What about the stand you were going to take?
But that was when I didn't think I could fall in love with him. So now I need your help. Mother means well, but...
But what?
Well, she's rather forced me on Charles. Oh, not that he minds. But there's his friend, Mr. Darcy. Charles thinks very highly of him. A moment ago, when Charles went to get the punch, Mr. Darcy talked to him for quite a while. I could tell he was talking about us.
Us?
Well, our family.
Jane, how do you know?
Well, he wants Mr. Darcy to meet you.
Oh, no. I mean, Jane...
You will come. Oh, please, you must. This Mr. Darcy's approval, I can tell it means everything. And you can so help to counteract the bad impression Mama made.
Oh, Jane, dearest...
Oh, yes, you can. Please. You have tact and...
Tact?
And a way of putting things.
Yes. I certainly have.
But hang it all, Darcy, I've fallen in love with a girl. What do I care about her family?
You've a family of your own in London, Bingley. Friends there, too. Now, if I'm able to take back glowing reports of this family here, well...
Oh, all right. But this could prove embarrassing.
It should prove interesting.
Oh, hush now, they're coming.
May I present my sister? Miss Bennet, Mr. Bingley. Miss Bennet, Mr. Darcy.
Your servant, madam.
What? Oh, your servant, Mr. Darcy. I mean...
My sister means she's so happy.
I'm sure that's what she meant.
Darcy.
Lizzie.
There goes the music. Well, Miss Bennet?
What, Mr. Bingley?
You two will want to get better acquainted. Well?
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 We're quite at your mercy, aren't we? My sister and I.
How do you mean?
Well, you were in the library when... Oh, you haven't told him what you overheard. I mean...
I had planned to wait.
Yes?
And let my decision rest on my impression of the... sister.
Oh. And what is your impression?
I'm afraid a further acquaintance will be necessary.
I see. Mr. Darcy, Jane's happiness means a great deal to me.
Ah, well, in that case, I want to be fair. Now, I imagine Bingley will be a frequent caller at your home. You won't mind if I come along?
But... no. Of course not.
Good. That way I'll have more time to form an impression of the sister.
Why won't you tell me? Why won't you tell me?
Lydia, Lydia. As Mother would say, have compassion on our nerves.
But Mama's not here, and that's what's suspicious. I want to know why Leslie got Mama to go visiting today, and why Jane is so nervous today.
I'm not nervous, Lydia.
Oh, yes, you are. It's when you're nervous that you always hit the wrong keys. See?
Oh, Lydia, please.
Then I'm right. It's today Mr. Bingley's going to ask Jane. Oh, at last, at last.
At last? He's only been calling for a week.
Oh, yes, but what a miserable week it's been for me. I used to receive George Wickham every day. Until Mr. Darcy started coming to the house.
It will only be for a little while longer, Lydia.
But George's regiment won't be stationed here forever. And you can't blame my Wickham for wanting to stay away. After all...
Lydia, I prefer not to be reminded.
But in all fairness, I do think we should hear Mr. Darcy's side of the story. Before we go leaping at conclusions.
I, for one, would not be inclined to believe anything Mr. Darcy had to say.
Oh, here they come. Oh, Jane, Lizzie, they're just now coming through the gate.
Oh, where's my shawl?
Oh, Lizzie, you're not going to leave me. What will I say to him?
You'll know when the time comes.
What will I do? Should I be playing when Hill shows him in?
Yes, do anything. As for me, I'm ducking into the garden to avoid Mr. Darcy.
She always ducks into the garden to avoid him because she knows that's the first place he'll look for her.
Lydia.
Your shawl, sister dear.
Miss Bennett. I say, Miss Bennett. I thought I might find you in the garden.
Indeed?
I mean, I'd hoped I might. You see, I'm going up to London tomorrow.
You... oh, what a pity. We shall miss you, Mr. Darcy.
I wish you really meant that, Miss Bennett. Because I shall miss you very much.
Then I take it I succeeded in conveying a favorable impression.
Very favorable.
In that case, I trust you'll stick to your end of the bargain.
My end?
To carry a good report of our family to London.
I assure you I will.
We appreciate your kindness. And now...
I'll take my leave, of course. But first...
Yes?
I really don't know how to begin. You see, I've struggled, but in vain... quite against my will, Miss Bennett. I've fallen in love with him.
Oh.
Miss Bennett, in the house, a proposal is taking place.
While in the garden, let me see now. Loving me against your will, you want to marry me? Surely against your better judgment?
I didn't mean to... forget what I said.
But there's so much I'd have to forget. For example... your treatment of George Wickham.
Wickham? What's he been telling you?
Your father's godson. And yet you have withheld every penny your father set aside for him to study law.
That's the story he tells everyone.
You presume to deny it?
No, I don't deny it, because it's the truth. But not the whole truth. George Wickham hadn't the least intention of studying law with that money. His whole life has been one of complete idleness and dissipation. I've paid his debts and covered his losses for so long.
How generous of you.
It's not that. I naturally feel responsible for his actions. I only... But what's the use? I can see from the look in your eyes you don't want to believe what I'm telling you. Simply because his story fits in better with your preconceived notions of me.
I believe you came into the garden to say goodbye. We got a little off the subject, Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth, you... you must believe in me because I love you.
The original subject, Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth,
Lizzie!
I...
Lizzie! Daddy, he's after. He's after. Mr. Bingley's after Jane and... Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt anything.
You didn't, Lydia. It's quite all right. Mr. Darcy and I were just saying goodbye.
Before we go on with Act Two of Oliver Smith's favorite story, let's have a look at the evening paper. Well, a change in women's styles is certainly with us. The new fullness in skirts, particularly. It says here more freedom of movement will be necessary, as the waltz is definitely replacing the minuet. Here's another official note. It has been announced by the Lord Mayor that the streets of London will have gas lighting this year, for the first time in history. Ah, but here's welcome news. Napoleon's army is routed at Leipzig as the tide continues to turn against the Emperor's forces. And now that we've scanned the front pages of this evening paper for the year 1813, we can turn to the literary section on the back page and read that the bookstalls are running out of copies of the bestseller Pride and Prejudice by the new young authoress Jane Austen, which reminds us that we must return to the Bennet household. And there we come face to face with the old war horse, Mrs. Bennet, that is, in high dudgeon.
Lydia, where is she? Where is she, girl?
Where's who, Mama?
Lizzie, your sister Elizabeth, child. Tell me where you saw her last.
In the morning room. In the drawing room. No, upstairs.
Oh, don't shatter my nerves. I'll look for her myself. No, don't go away. You'll have to help her pack.
Pack? Where's Lizzie going, Mama?
Yes, where am I going?
Oh, there you are, Lizzie. I just received a letter in the post from your Aunt Gardner, Lizzie, dear. She asked if I could spare one of my doves for a week. If I could spare one.
But, Mother...
Come, we must get you packed. You leave for London in the morning.
London? Oh, no, Mother.
Oh, just think. You'll have a whole week there, dear. Look what your sister Jane did in a week.
You mean you're sending me there to...
Well, surely you know what a wonderful place London is to catch a husband.
Mother!
So come along. Don't dally, dear.
Mother, I can't go to London.
Can't go? You must go.
I can't, I tell you.
Why can't you? Oh, I get no cooperation. First you let Mr. Darcy slip right through your fingers. I know you could have gotten a proposal if you'd half tried. And
it's
now...
It's no use, Mama. She simply won't do what's best for her. So, why don't I go in her place?
You? Oh, but you're so young.
Not too young.
But would you know how to act?
Oh, I promise to be on my best behavior. Most of the time.
Very well. You may go.
Oh, Mama, thank you. Lizzie, do you hear?
Mother, are you sure London's the place for Lydia?
Mama, don't listen to her. She's just afraid now I'll catch her husband before she does.
Lydia.
Oh, all right. End up an old maid. See if I care. As for me, I'm going to London.
No, I can't believe it. Oh, it's too horrible.
Mother, get hold of yourself.
Oh,
Uncle Gardner writes that they're doing everything they can to find them and bring them back.
But how will they know where to look? Oh, that dreadful George Wickham running off with my dove Lydia. And we don't even know if they're met. Oh, dear.
The captain of his regiment has offered to help, Mother. Apparently this has happened before.
Oh, my poor Lydia. But we've always thought so highly of Mr. Wickham. Why, I remember you used to say...
Yes, I remember what I used to say.
Well, this certainly proves one thing. You can't rely on first impressions. Now, can you, my dear?
No, Mother. No, you can't.
Yes, tell me. What is it, Hill? Is there a letter?
Beg pardon, madam.
Oh, no mail. Still no word.
And what is it, Hill?
There's a Mrs. Wickham to see you.
Mrs. Wickham?
We don't know any Mrs. Wickham. Unless she's a relative of...
What's that? You mean you don't even know your own daughter?
Lydia!
Oh, my homing pigeon!
Are you married?
Married.
Oh.
Mama, I've got my Wickham outside in the carriage.
I think it might be just as well if he stayed there.
Mama!
Lizzie, I'm dying to meet my son-in-law.
Let's just be thankful he is your son-in-law.
Oh, Mama, make her stop.
How much did he settle for?
Whatever do you mean?
You know what I mean. How much did Uncle Gardner have to pay him before he'd marry you?
Why, Lizzie, what a thing to say. Oh, I believe he did give him a few £100 for traveling expenses.
I thought so.
Well, a married man needs more money than a single
one. Elizabeth, how will we ever pay your Uncle Gardner back?
I don't believe we'll have to. Because we all know Uncle Gardner hasn't that much money in the first place. Come now, Lydia. Who supplied the money?
You tricked me into telling you one thing that was supposed to be a secret. You'll not trick me again. Let's talk about my wedding instead. Oh, really, it was most thrilling.
Beg pardon, Miss Bennett.
Yes, Sil, what is it?
The Lady Catherine de Burr is here to see you.
To see me?
Doesn't anyone want to hear about my wedding?
I ushered Lady Catherine into the library.
Well, you can usher her right out again. Well, tell her I'm, too ill to see her.
Oh, it was most exciting, Elizabeth, really. It was.
Are you out of your mind? Mr. Darcy's aunt here. But of course you'll see
Considering
her.
It almost didn't come off, actually.
I know why she's come.
Uncle Gardner was called away on business, you know.
You'll have to tell
so
the Lady Catherine...
Mr. Darcy might have to take his place and give me away, but...
Lydia!
He came...
Lydia. What was that again, dear? Mr. Darcy, was at your wedding?
Yes. Did I say that? Oh, I did, didn't I?
Why would Mr. Darcy be there for your marriage? Unless he had some special interest in it.
Well, now, let me tell you about my journey here.
No. First, you'll tell me about Mr. Darcy.
But there's no reason to tell, really.
Except it was he who supplied the money that made your marriage possible.
Oh, Mama.
Oh, there, Lydia.
What should I tell her ladyship, Miss Bennett?
Don't tell her a thing. I'll go in and see her. I'll see her. But if he sent her to try and make me change my mind...
Oh, Mama, aren't you proud of me? Married and everything. And you were right. London is a simply wonderful place to catch a husband.
Good morning, Lady Catherine.
Good morning. Doubtless you know why I've come.
Yes, I know.
Then I take it you're willing to set aside your own feelings in the matter.
But I've made up my mind, Lady Catherine. No matter how much you may plead for Mr. Darcy...
Oh, then he has proposed.
Why, yes, of course. He... Lady Catherine, just what did you come here for?
Why, to prevent your marrying my nephew. What else?
To prevent it? Well, I see.
You can see how impossible such a marriage would be. The family could not afford such a catastrophe. Therefore, I must ask you to stop encouraging him.
Lady Catherine... Your nephew can assure you that encouragement is the one thing I most certainly have not given him.
Then my fears are groundless?
Until a few moments ago, I'd have said they most certainly were. Lady Catherine, I'm indebted to you for your visit here this afternoon. You've made me see something for the first time.
Why, whatever do you mean?
I mean, Lady Catherine, that if you still intend to save your nephew for posterity... You're going to have to act fast. You're going to have to get to London before I do, if you want to avert a catastrophe.
Excuse me, Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth.
Excuse me, please. I thought I'd never catch up with you. I'm all out of breath. I was so afraid I'd be too late.
Too late?
Yes. Too late to be forgiven. Because I do love you.
What?
Before I was afraid to admit it, even to myself. Now I'm proud to admit it.
Oh, Elizabeth, my dearest.
I know what you did for Lydia.
Oh, but look here, if you think I did it just to...
No. I know why you did it. Because you felt responsible for Wickham's actions and wanted to atone for them. All the Lady Catherines in the world can't destroy a sense of honor like that.
Oh, Lizzie, Lizzie.
Mr. Darcy, putting your arms around me here in public?
My arms belong around you.
But your pride. Remember your pride?
Pride is a thing of the past, Miss Bennett. I'm going to kiss you, Lizzie.
Right here?
Right now. Unless you have a prejudice against men who kiss women in public.
Prejudice is a thing of the past, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Besides, Londoners must be used to this sort of thing.
You mean it happens all the time?
Why, what a foolish question, Mr. Darcy. Surely you know what a wonderful place they say London is to catch a husband.
That's Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen's excellent advice on how to catch a husband. Such good advice, in fact, that Miss Austen never took it herself, for she died a spinster at the early age of 42. Verna Felton played Mrs. Bennett, Helen Craig of the Broadway stage was Lizzie, and William Conrad, the ingratiating Mr. Darcy. Maestro Claude Sweeten created an early 19th century atmosphere with his customary skill, and the famous artist, Mr. Oliver Smith, chose Pride and Prejudice as his favorite story.